Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Woo!
It's good to be home. Yeah. Genesis 2:18. God said something in Revelation. He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. Now, the first half of that word is hell. Purr. It's in the Bible. Well, my sweetheart Angel is in Florida this morning. Her first grandbaby just turned one. They had a big party to plan this weekend. And so it's my 10th grandbaby, but it's her first. So it is a very big deal. So she's celebrating today. She says hello. And I was working as an engineer for 12 years. I knew God would call us in the ministry. We were going to deal with families. So I'm in my last year of Bible school, and the pastor just ordained us. So I can marry and bury. It's legal. So I've got 3 minimum wage jobs between my wife and I, just trying to keep food on the table and trying to get out of school. And so the secretary at one of the places I work, elderly lady, she'd bring food all the time. She'd bring a casserole, she'd bring some homemade soup, she'd bring a fried chicken, and she kept us fed, and she helped us a lot. And so I've been to her house, and we'd visited with them several times, and she's married to a mean old man. Just meaner than snot. And she's a nice lady, but I don't know what happened, but he was just mean. So she called and said, Joe, I need you to come to the house. My husband's died. I need you to do the funeral. And so I'd never done a funeral. I mean, I've been to Bible school. I know how to do one, but I've never actually done one. So my wife and I would go. We dress up. We go to her house. I said, well, I'm so sorry about your husband. I said, can you tell me something about him? Now, I'm not making any of this up. Can you tell me something about it? I said, well, you can tell everybody he went to hell. Now, very gracious, lovely elderly lady, very nice. And she's older. I said, man, we don't know that. Well, I do. He died cursing God. He went to hell. I want you to tell her about the funeral of that. Ma'am, I can't do that. I've never done a funeral, but I'm not going to start one by telling everybody that the dead person went to hell. I can't do that. And so, well, he did. And so it was the worst funeral I ever did. I kept looking at the casket. Did he go to hell? Did he go to hell? And so we finished the funeral. We go out to the graveside service, and everybody follows about it. They knew a lot of people, very nice lady. She had a lot of people that liked her. So things over, did the graveside service. I figured we're going to take her out and get her something to eat. And she said, no, I want to stay until they cover him up. Well, I'd never stayed at a funeral that long. You know, you always leave, go get something to eat. So we stay, everybody leaves, they take the tent down, and they lowered the casket in, they've taken the bars away, and here comes the backhoe. And so just me and my wife and her, and she's standing out right close to the grave, and backhoe's running. And my wife said, what's she doing? I don't know. She wants to stay until they cover him up. I have no idea. It's my first funeral. I've never done this before. And so backhoe's, and I kept hearing something. I thought, is she talking? And I think, so I stepped up close behind her. Well, she was singing. She was singing as they backhoe put the dirt on top of her husband and pounded down the, you know, the dirt. And she was singing, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And I thought, whoa. So I said, well, you ready to go get something? She said, no, I want you to take me by the nursery over here. I want to buy some roses. Some what? Roses. So my husband never let me plant roses. I'm going to plant me some roses in my backyard. So I'm still dressed up for the funeral, so we go by the nursery, buy 3 rose bushes, go to her house. I take off my jacket and get the shovel, and I dig a hole and plant 3 roses. Get it fertilized, put down. So we finally went to get something to eat. Well, that was different. So several weeks later, I'm at work, and I'm going through the office, punching out, and she's not there. I said, hey, where's she at? And they said, well, she's gone to Las Vegas. Now, she's a real strong Baptist lady. They go to church all the time. I said, Vegas? What's she go to Vegas for? And so she came back a week later, and I came to her and said, hey, I heard you went to Vegas. I did, and I loved it. Said, my husband never would take me, said, it's full of sinners, but I just want to eat the buffet. Got great buffets, nice shows. Well, I didn't gamble. I just liked the buffets and the shows. So about 2 months went by, and I go through the office again, and I said, hey, where's she at? She's gone to Vegas again. Oh, dear Lord, she's got hooked. We've got her hooked. And so long story short, she married a widower. Found a widower in Vegas. Nice guy, wife had died. Well, she met him at one of the buffets. And they got to talking, visiting, and she married him. And I've been to her house in Vegas, got a beautiful, her whole backyard is rose garden. Wow. Now, the point of that story is you go through life one time. You want to make the most of it. You don't want to be the north end of a southbound mule. You're supposed to be a blessing to your spouse. You're supposed to be the second greatest gift that ever happened outside Jesus. I took my kids to D.C. a lot. We went there and take tours and whatever. And so we were there 1 year, and we took a tour of the U.S. Mint. And so we finished the tour. They were printing $20 bills that day, stacks and stacks of brand-new $20 bills. And so we're taking a tour. And so the lady gave them the tour. We're about to exit the building, so we're going down this long hallway. She says, well, now here, in these rooms here, these are the FBI agents that are specially trained to find counterfeit money. Really? And they study for 6 weeks, and their specialty is counterfeit, find counterfeit. And so, but in 6 weeks, they never see a counterfeit bill. They only study good bills. I said, really? Well, how do they know if it's a bad bill? Well, they know the good is so good, they know if it's not good, it's a bad bill, but they know the good. They don't study bad, because if you print a bad bill, they'll just print another bad bill, and they'll print another bad. But they study the good, they know the good. How do you know that's bad? It's not good. Now, there's a point to this. You go through life one time. Don't ever talk about your spouse's past. They don't have a time machine, and they can't change it. Don't ever say, you always, you never, you should have, you could have. You're cheating. That's cheating. They don't have a time machine. You just want them to feel bad. You don't want them to fix anything. And so I've learned. I'm in my second marriage, and I've had two great women that I've married. And so I learned. I'm going to make you want to suck the lips off my face. Because nobody's going to be better to you than I am. And so I learned some lessons about doing this. And these are some old notes. But I learned this early in my married life. I call this, it's not good to be alone. And it's not. God, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make you a helper. I'm going to make you somebody to help you. And so, it's real short. Ephesians 4, verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. That means you and your spouse and Jesus. God created marriage. It was his idea. Marriage is a gift. But I used to take my seniors to divorce court every year. Had to get permission from the parents. Where are we going today? We're going to divorce court because you think you're in love. You're just dumber than dirt. So we're going to go to divorce court. Tulsa County's got a balcony. So we would go about 2.5-3 hours. Now here, what you're going to hear today are two people at one time swore their undying love to one another. I love you. I love you. And that's what you're going to hear today. And you're going to hear every nasty four-letter word you've ever heard and some new ones you've not heard spoke between two people at one time and swore throwing down love to one another. What happened? Well, they fell out of love. I had this one couple I was counseling for years, good couple. His first wife had died, been married a long time, had four adult kids. Well, she died. He got remarried to a woman 20 years younger than him, a fiery Cajun woman. She sang for the ORU Singers, Holy Ghost woman, good. But young and full of spit and vinegar. And he looked like Norman Rockwell, had a hat, carried a cane. And so they were two worlds colliding. So they came by and said, Mr. King, can you talk to us after church? So every Sunday after church, our second service, they come to my office 30 minutes. We talk about marriage, what you need to do and how it works, how this thing blends together. Well, we did that for 8 months. It worked out pretty good. And so anyhow, 4 months go by. It's after Christmas. I'm in my office after the Sunday service. the lady comes to my office door. Mr. Gee, can I talk to you just a minute? I said, yeah, sure. How's it going? Well, it's not good. We're getting a divorce. You're got to be kidding. No. Well, what happened? Well, we've fallen out of love. Really? Well, that's sad. I said, well, when did you fall in? Well, you weren't born next to each other. You can't fall out unless you fell in. When did you fall in love? Well, we went for coffee, and then we went to lunch, we went to dinner, we started dating, and we fell in love. And now what? We've fallen out. Sure, let me explain something to you. You can fall out of bed. You can fall off the couch. You can fall in the ditch. You can't fall out of love. Love's a choice. For God so loved the world, he did something. Love's a choice. It's not an emotion. Now, there's emotion that goes with it. Love's a you choose to love somebody. Now, when I married Angel, it's my second run. I married my first wife 45 years. She died and went to heaven, so I married Angel. And there's 12 years age difference. So I'm a lot older than her. And so she thought I was something special. And I told her the day we got married to Angel, I need to explain something to you. I'm not who you think I am. I don't know what you think, but I'm not who you think I am. Okay? I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make some dumb decisions. It's just what it is. I'm not perfect. And so sure enough, about 2 years into it, we had one day where she got upset. Now, Angel has never yelled. She's never cussed, never lost her temper. But when she gets mad, she'll hold her hand up. That means go to another room. So I have an office in our house. So, you know, one day Angel threw that. I went to my office. So she's done it every time, 3 times in 7 years, 3 times. She knocks on the door and says, Joe, I need to apologize. No, babe, you're fine. No, I lost my temper. No, you didn't. Come here. Sit on my lap. Let's kiss a little bit. Come on, buck her up. And so we do that every time. So in my second marriage, I've never picked a restaurant. I've never picked a car. I've never picked a house. I don't pick a vacation. I don't pick nothing. I let Angel pick everything. And people say, why? Well, a marriage is a funeral. Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. It should say, I'm so sorry I heard you got married. Because if you don't die at that ceremony, you're a half-dead zombie. And so I've told all my kids, got 6 adult kids home before they got married, you're trying to find the one person you want to spend the rest of your life giving your life away to. That's what a marriage is. It's a covenant. You can't have a covenant unless somebody dies. You're trying to find the one person I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving. Good days, bad days, I don't care if I did double overtime, I'm here to serve you, babe. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Can I wash something? Can I cook something? Can I fold some towels? What can I do for you? Otherwise, you're going to be fighting all the time, and you're going to think, and I only deal with Christians. I've had spiritual in my office. Well, I married the wrong person. I married too late. I married too early. No, you married you. The Bible says like kind draws like kind. Oh, that's funny. So, Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus said, I tell you this, if two of you here agree on anything they ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Proverbs 18, 22, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. I was in a Baptist church and I first heard that. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I didn't find nothing good. I found a she-bear up in the south side of Haiti. Because my first marriage, my first 3 years, we yelled, hollered, screamed at each other, threw cans of green beans at each other. We were mad. And my buddies were like, what happened to your marriage? I married a she-bear from Hades. And they said, well, she sure is pretty. I said, yeah, the devil's good-looking too. Did you ever read that in the Bible? The devil's good-looking. Anyhow, so, you know, the spirit-filled Methodist got me filled with the Holy Ghost. We got back in church, and it turned out good. Ecclesiastes 9:9. The one that God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Yeah, that's a bumper sticker in Texas somewhere. That's my reward. That's it. That's all I get. Yeah, that's my reward to you. God's got a wacky sense of humor because if he put two people together, he puts opposites together. There's a bumper sticker in Texas that says when two people are just alike, one of you is not needed. I have couples, oh, Miss V, we're so in love. We're so alike. No, you're not. You're ignorant as dirt. You don't have a clue what's going on, but it's coming. You're going to wake up one day and realize, oh, my God, what have I done? You married him, or you married her, and every nut and flake in the family tree goes with it. Because I've had a couple, we're getting married, but we're not going to go to their house. They're not coming to our house. Oh, they're going to come to your house. They're going to probably live with you for 3 years. You're going to have to support them. God's got a great sense of humor. Ooh, it gets quiet when you say that. 1 Timothy 5:14, I advise the younger widows to marry again, have children, take care of their own houses. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. What happens if you lose a spouse? Get married again. I had a daughter lost a spouse. And she said, what am I going to do? You need to find another spouse. What? I forget that grieving thing. You know, God gave you, in the Bible, God gives you 30 days. When Moses died, he gave him 30 days to cry. Day 31, get up. We got stuff to do. Grieve for a little while, but don't make a God out of the dead. Don't make a God out of the dead. They're gone. Now, hopefully they're in heaven. You'll see them again one day. So get busy living. Oh, that's deep. The Bible says the people in heaven watch us run our race. I don't know what they know, but they know something. They're watching us run our race. So, you know, when I got remarried, I thought, hey, my kids, so you're getting remarried? Yeah. Well, how old are you, Dad? Well, I'm 67. You're getting remarried? Yeah. Well, how come? Well, I think I'd like to wake up next to somebody. I kind of miss that. I'd like to sit across the breakfast table and drink coffee with somebody. I miss that. I think I'd like to get in a fight with somebody and make up. I know I miss that. Yeah, it was deep. Matthew 19, she said, from the beginning God made them male and female, and this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So God's trying to make us one, going to make us one together. I'll give you a couple of these. Marriage is something you build, not something you find. Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You don't find a marriage, you build one. Because they're going to keep changing. I don't care who you, men, we're so ignorant. We marry them. I know what I got. Well, they're going to change. They're going to change. Oh, yeah, they're going to change. I remember I took my wife to a seafood restaurant for 30 years. That's what my dad did to my mom. There's no seafood in Tennessee, so take the seafood restaurant. So I took my wife to a seafood restaurant for 30 years like my dad did. On our 30th wedding anniversary, we're in Naples, Florida, nice five-star seafood restaurant, or Melbourne. We're in Melbourne, Florida. And four of our kids are with us. Two have flown down from college. All of us in this nice private dining area and five-star restaurant. I noticed my wife's not eating. I said, honey, there's something wrong with your food. She said, Joe, is this a good seafood restaurant? Yeah, but it's a five-star restaurant. It's a great restaurant. Why? I just realized something. I said, what? She said, I don't like seafood. Baby, you've been eating it for 30 years. I just figured you never could find a good restaurant. If this is a good one, I don't like seafood. I like steak. Well, my kids are staring at me. My two kids are in college. Said, good Lord, Dad, you teach on marriage. Yeah, this is going to be a new chapter in my book. It's going to be a brand new chapter. And if you've ever read my marriage book, there's a chapter on eat steak. Because they're going to change on you. Jeremiah 29, the people of Israel have been captured, taken off to Babylon. God had a word for him. The prophet came, listen, while you're over there, build your houses, plan to stay, plant a garden, eat the food, get married, have children, find spouses for your children so you can have many grandchildren multiply, do not dwindle away. And so what he's telling you, he says, yes, you're going to go over here and have a great time, but you're going to be here a while. You're going to be here for 70 years. So get busy living. And you got to, there's too many people living in the past. You're trying to spend time in the past. I can't do that. We got to go forward. So if you're here today and you're in your second or third marriage, try not to talk about the former spouses. Well, my first wife, my first husband, forget them. They're gone. Now, I know sometimes you're with blended families. You got to deal with certain stuff legally, but let it go. Don't bring up the past. Your greatest days are in front of you, not behind you. Amen. It's where you're going, not where you've been. And so I tell couples to get married all the time. And my last counselor said, do not dig into each other's path. Well, how many girlfriends did you have? How many people you slept with? How many times you've been drunk? How much dope did you smoke? Shut up. That's cheating. Don't go into their past. You're marrying who they are now, where they're going, not where they've been. Don't walk through a graveyard digging up dead bones the rest of your life. It's hard to build a marriage talking about the past. So we've got a rule at home. I never talk about the past. Don't ever bring it up. Your wife been married before? Yeah, so have I. You ever talk about your former spouse? Never. Never. I mean, we don't ever bring, I never even think about my former spouse. I was married 45 years to my first wife, but we don't ever talk about it. And so I got to thinking, I'll share this. I went to South Africa back in 1990 with my pastor. We're at a big old mega church, 12,000 member church, huge thing. great church, one of the few blended churches at the time in South Africa. And so we're over there. And while we're there, they wanted to take a tour. We got a couple of days, so I want to take a tour. And so there's huge diamond mines in South Africa. And so we go up this big diamond mine. At the time, was the world's largest. Not anymore, but it's been discovered. World's largest diamond mine. There's this big brass plaque that tells the story of this diamond mine. And it's a long story. And what it was, a lot of Dutch farmers left Holland and came down to South Africa because it had the blackest soil on the planet, rich soil. So a lot of Dutch farmers moved down to South Africa and started farming, potato farming. Potatoes were a big thing. And boy, that soil grew great potatoes. So they're making money in these huge farms everywhere in South Africa. A lot of Dutch people still live there to this day. And so all of a sudden, somebody discovered gold. Gold was discovered in South Africa. And about a year later, somebody discovered diamonds. Diamonds were discovered in South Africa. Well, guys began to sell their farm. They sold their farm. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to go look for gold. I'm going to dig potatoes. I'm going to dig for gold. And then another farm. Well, I'm not going to dig potatoes. I'm going to dig for diamonds. And then they started selling their farms off. So one guy kind of held out to the end. He thought, man, this is stupid. Everybody's getting rich except me. I'm still planting potatoes. So he sold his farm, cashed in everything, bought a big wagon, and he spent the next 20 years of his life looking for diamonds. True story. It's on a big plaque. Spent 20 years looking for diamonds. 20 years later, they found his wagon next to a river with a note on the seat. He had jumped in the river and committed suicide. He was broke. His wife had left him. Kids had grown up. Didn't have a dime to his name. He was broke. Well, he sold his farm to another farmer, potato farmer. And so the guy that got the potato farmer, he's there. So a couple of weeks he's been there, got his new farm. He's real thrilled. He's working it real good. So he has a couple of buddies come over to build him a new barn. We need a barn. And so there was no electricity, so all the homes, the windows faced the west. So you work all day, you can have light coming through the window in the evening when you ate your meal. And so the farmer's been there 2 weeks. Some guys are coming over to spend a few days helping build a barn. They're eating dinner late in the day. Been a hard day at work. So the sun begins to set, and all of a sudden the sunlight comes through the windows. It's this big rock on the fireplace mantle. And red and blue light dance all over that room. And the buddy said, man, what is that? That's a big crystal. Man, I never seen a crystal like that. Man, look at that beautiful light. Yeah, it's magnificent, it is. He said, man, if I didn't know, but I think this looked like a diamond. It can't be a diamond. It's too big. No, I'll tell you. You need to take this to town and have somebody look at it. Because I think this might be a diamond. No, diamonds are little things. That thing's the size of a rock. It can't be a diamond. The guy said, man, you got to take it to town. I'm not going to go to town and get embarrassed. I live here. I'm not going to be embarrassed. He said, man, it can't be a diamond in the creek bed's full of them. It's on a plaque. The story's on a plaque. So and his buddies got up from the dinner table, walked out back 20 yards behind the house with two milk buckets, filled up two milk buckets, some of the largest diamonds in the world. One guy sold it to go look for it. He already had it. What you need, God put in you the day you got conceived. It's in here. It's not out there. It's in here. You need to bloom where you planted. Quit looking for it and just become it. And the way you do that, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, you want to be great in my kingdom? Do you want to be great? Yes. You can learn how to serve other people. You start serving other people, you'll be blessed. So I told all my kids their whole life, I made my kids go on mission trips, volunteer at church, do stuff for the Red Cross. You need to volunteer. I don't want you growing up a thumb-sucking, selfish individual. Life's about giving your life away. The quicker you give it away, the quicker it's going to come back. Life's about serving other people. When you get married, you're to find the one person you want to serve. And if you start serving them, they'll suck the lips off your face. Now, I'll say it right now. I'm a blessed man, but I've learned some things. People say, well, that's stupid what you do. No, it's not. I'm in love. I'm in love. So when I get to heaven, angel will ask me all the time, when we get to heaven, you going to talk to your first wife? I don't know. She's there somewhere. Well, at the marriage supper, you reckon you're going to be sitting next to her? I don't know. I'm not in charge of the seating arrangement. Well, you better be sitting next to me. Well, I plan to, baby. You just need to let God know because I'm not in charge of the seating arrangement. God knows our future. He orders our steps, directs our path. God is in all truth. We've got it made. We just need to be obedient and listen to God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free and keeps us free. Lord, today if we are blinded in any area, we ask you, take blindness from our minds and lighten the eyes of our understanding. Guide us into all truth, Father. You said our greatest days are in front of us, not behind us. Our greatest days are still to come. So, Father, don't let us get caught up on the side of the road. We don't want to be caught up on some concrete table when Disney World's around the corner. Help us get what you called us and gifted us to do. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed just for 60 seconds. Nobody looking. Two questions. Nobody looking. Real quick. Two questions. Are you here today and say, Joe, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have never, ever asked him into my heart. But I think God's been dealing with me, and I'd like to do something about that today. If that's you, I would like to pray a 30-second prayer over you right out of the book of Romans. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm simply going to, in a few seconds, if that's you, ask you to raise your hand, wave it at me, and put it right back down. If you're willing to do that, God in heaven will save you right where you stand. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. God will make you a new creature in Christ. It's that simple. Or perhaps here today and you say, Joe, I know Jesus, but I have not been living for him lately. Well, you can pray the exact same prayer out of Romans. We're going to pray with these other people. And God in heaven will forgive you every sin you have ever committed in a moment of time. God will take your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll put them in the depths of the sea. There'll be no record of your sin in heaven. And God will make the devil pay back seven times whatever he stole from you. It will never get easier than this. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Joe, that's me. I need to get born again. Would you pray that prayer over me? Or Joe, that's me. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you on either count right now, would you just get your hand up and wave it at me and put it back down? Joe, pray. Thank you. Thank you for your both. Thank you. Thank you there. Thank you there. Thank you back there. Thank you. Way back there. I saw your hand over there. Yes, over there. I see your hand there. Back there. I saw your hand back there. Anybody else? It'll never get easier than this. God does the saving. He does the forgiving. He just needs your permission. Anybody else? Joe, I'm not raising my hand yet. Please include me in your prayer. Anyone else? Yes, that hand right there. All right, hands down, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Here's what we're going to do. Those of you that raised your hands, we're going to pray with you, and God's going to do the two greatest miracles he can do. He's going to save souls and forgive sins. So people, let's help them pray. Everybody in here, say this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I do believe he is your son. He died for me, and you raised him from the dead. I ask him now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you by faith. With thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, for the hands that went up this morning, either for the first time ever or as a simple reaffirmation of their faith in you, according to your holy word and their obedience, as of right now, they are cleansed, forgiven, blood-bought, born-again children of God. Jesus Christ is their Lord. The devil's not their Lord anymore. They are your sheep. You're their shepherd. They're going to hear your voice and the voice of a stranger that will not follow. Lord, as they lead today, surround them with a shield of divine favor. May people begin to look at them with a new set of eyes. And Father, bring godly friends into their life that will strike iron and cause them to grow and become all you want them to be. We thank you for them in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. Thank you, Joe. Joe, I need help. I'm single. And I want to get married.
Well, you need to start volunteering somewhere. I tell my kids all the time, where are you going to find somebody? Well, every time you go on a date, you find another goofball. I can't find anybody good today. Well, you're going to look in the wrong place. You need to go where the people are serving other people. So I'd have my kids, they volunteer at the Red Cross. We had a halfway house in Tulsa once a month to get together and feed the street people. I don't want to marry a street person, no, but there's other people helping street people. You're going to meet other people who want to serve. Go find somebody else who has a servant's heart. They make really good spouses. Somebody who wants to serve.
But it seems like it's taken so long, Joe. It's so long. What do I do?
Well, I don't control the speed dial. One of my kids getting married. They were 28. I thought they'll never get married. Well, they got married, but it was later. And so I'm not God. They would ask, what's going on? I said, well, you should keep looking. Well, where? Well, same place you've been looking. Or find you a new field somewhere, you know? And so she started, we have a great organization at Tulsa at the time where they would have a halfway house, would go help people. And so go down and help out. Dad, I'm not gonna be anybody there. And so then they'd have the singles night and they'd come home depressed. Oh dear, it was depressing. They're all single and they're all sad. Well, then don't go to singles night. Go where there's some married people. Go where there's married people. But go volunteer somewhere. Show up. Be nice. And so my kids, two of my kids, married people, they met at a volunteer situation. Why? Other people are volunteering. And so you're going to have to stick your neck out. And I don't care quit looking at the age. Like I said, my daughter's, she's going to be, I'll be 30 and never be married. Well, I keep saying it. And I'd get mad at my kids, one of her house, and she's reading her Bible and getting all holy. And you ought to read your Bible. Baby, you ought to go to church, read your Bible. But she said, I'll never get married. I'll never get married. Well, come here, let's pray. So I grabbed her hand. We're in her house. She makes good money, got a college degree, but she's not married. She said, well, Father, I just set myself in agreement with her right now. In Jesus' name, she'll never get married. All my kids are married, but she will never get married. That's what she wants. That's what she's believing for. Yeah, what are you doing? Shut up a minute. I'm praying. Father, I believe. I'm not making this up. I agree that she'll never find a spouse. She'll never get married. She's going to die an old person. Just be old and single. Quit saying it. Well, then you shut up and quit saying it. Shut your mouth up and start saying, I'm blessed from God. And so she was engaged by December. Married a good guy. Good. You got to get your mouth running in the right direction.
Good. Thank you. Joe, I need help. My kids are driving me up a wall. They're rebellious. They won't follow what I ask them to do. What can I do?
Well, number one, you got to pray every day. And don't tell them you're praying. Well, I'm praying for you. Now, that just makes them more mad. What's wrong with you? Don't say that. My dad would say, you're not going to mount the hill of beans. And I didn't know what a hill of beans was. And when I moved to Sykes, Missouri, I saw this big soybean plant, and I saw my first hill of beans. That's what my daddy was talking about. And so watch the negative. You got to watch what you're saying. And so I got a big family, so no 2 days were the same. You know, three kids were happy, three were mad. Five were having a good day, one's having a bad day. It was never a normal day at any time. And so we would drive to school every morning. It was like 31 miles to school. I kept a paperback Bible in the back of my Suburban. Mile and 17th, get on the highway. So somebody grabbed the Bible. What is it? It's the 18th. Okay, Proverbs 18. Read the first three verses. Dad, I got to put my makeup on. Shut up. Read the first three verses. Dad, I got to get my makeup. I'll pull off the side of the road. I'll say to you, turn ugly. Read the first three verses. And so I'm not making it. We would yell on the way to school every day. Fine, what God said. And then they'd throw the Bible and hit their sister with it. Dad, they would say, shut up. Read the next three verses. It was never, there was never a holy moment. So when you got kids that are messing up, you just got to be patient. And you got to say what God said. You know, you're blessed. You're a reward. You know that? You're God's gift to me. You just got to tell him. And you don't like it. You're a gift from Hades. Somebody else's kid in the hospital made a mistake. There's no way you're mine. No, you're my God-given gift. You are. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but you're a gift from God. You are. I'm very serious. You got to start saying what God says about your kids. Because we've all been through it. I've taught on kids, and we've all been through it. Like, what happened? Well, they've gone stupid on me. Don't say that. No, my kids can't go stupid. They're mine. My seed's going to be mighty upon this planet, the Bible says. Wealth and riches are going to be in their house. The right's going to do it. And so I've had to say that to me. And my second daughter, we'd get so mad, she was just a fireball. We would be 2 inches yelling, don't give, you're a gift, God. I guarantee you we're going to make me a better man in Jesus' name. They're all doing great. They're not perfect, but they're all born again, spirit-filled, out of the house, married. So.
Last question, Joe, and it kind of goes along with that. What's three things we can do to make sure that our kids are successful in God's purpose for their life?
Number one, you got to make sure you're in church. Church is the most powerful thing on this planet. Hell hates the church. The media hates the church. Society hates the church, but it is what's happening. So make sure you're in church. Number two, make sure you read your Bible. We came with a book. I tell people that volume two's not coming out. Volume two, God's sticking with volume one. You go ahead and read it, he's not gonna change it. So go to church, read your Bible, and hang out with other Christians. If they won't invite you over, invite them to your house. Eat some romaine noodles or something. Just invite them over. You gotta get moving. You get isolated. The devil's trying to isolate everybody. We live in the most isolated society in the history of our country. People are angry. We got road rage and grocery store rage and Walmart rage. What's going on? They're mad because they're isolated. You're not around people, are you? Bless your heart. Ooh, that's not good. And so now the checkout counters. You don't have to meet a human. You just check it out. And that's how society's gone. There's not a human to check. I will not buy anything at Walmart unless I'm buying it from a human. Well, we got these automated counters. I don't use one. I never use one. I'll never use one. Hell, I'll freeze over if I use one. I want a human. How are you doing today? Well, I'm awful busy. Well, me too. I'll give you an extra $5. Just thank you for being you. Thank you for being here. We're losing society because the devil's trying to set us up for that. So make yourself a human person. You pray, you read your Bible, and you smile at somebody. Smile at somebody today. When you're leaving today, just smile. They don't know what you're thinking. Smile at somebody.
Let's tell Joe, thank you so much, Joe. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.